Hi, I'm Koshin Chris Kane, abbot of the Puget Sound Zen Center on Vashon Island, Washington. We're glad to be able to bring you these podcasts. If you'd like to learn more about our Zen Center, please visit our website at pscc.org.
So I understood, let me just get a watch out here, I can time this, that this month's theme was patience and diligence. So I wrote that little write-up about that. And I come from a place where the body and the breath will teach me the lessons that I need to know, that the qualities that I want to embody, that I want to use for the presence in my world and how I interact with it, are available to me from the qualities that are in breath. So I looked at those two words. So often when I am teaching something that has words attached to them, I'm curious about what those words, what Webster says about those words. Because oftentimes we are heavily influenced by definitions. And so these are kind of shocking, actually. Patience. The capacity to accept or to tolerate delay, trouble, or suffering without getting upset. That makes sense, but the part of here, I'm surprised it's not actually in here, it's there's also in the definition the effort to be patient. And that seems kind of contradictory to me, that to have patience, we have to effort to have patience, when the idea of it is that we just have to tolerate delay or trouble or suffering. And tolerance is also an interesting word. I mean, it's not exactly something that we feel like we want to be engaged with tolerating. We have to tolerate suffering. We have to tolerate long-term troubles. No, I don't think so. I think we'd like to come from a different place inside of ourselves. And diligence is steady, earnest, and energetic effort. Persevering application, careful and persistent work or effort to be diligent. Well, I don't know. Diligence for me, I don't really want to be diligent, particularly all the time. It seems like too much work to me. So in seeing that we, this is where I went with it right off the bat. It's like I ask my body questions. And my body is very quick to give me answers. And so, especially if we've had an experience, and I would imagine that all of us had the experience of being patient at some time or another. Mm-hmm. And don't we also know that patience just arises? It's not something we can actually do, because if we're telling ourselves to be patient, it seems to me like we're already giving ourselves a hard time. It's a little self-aggressive, it's a little too strict. So I want to ask you, just to ask yourself, ask your body, to show you patience. Ask your body, just show me the quality of patience and just track what happens inside of your body.
Relaxes.
It does relax, doesn't it? So another way, would everybody agree on that? Mm-hmm. And so when you are a little bit more relaxed, mm-hmm. do you feel like you perhaps could be more patient? Mm-hmm. And what is relaxation? If we could use a counterpoint, what is it, what's happening when we are relaxing? From the body perspective.
We breathe deeper.
Huh?
I think we breathe a little deeper.
I think we do breathe deeper. That is one thing that particularly happens. And I'll explain why that happens. But relaxation means that some tension or some activity is coming out of the muscle tissue, is it not? Yeah. And so when we are not relaxed, we are actually having more tension, so we're holding more. Is that not true? Wouldn't you say that would be true? So if we're holding more, where is it that we hold? We hold in our body, right? Mm. And so when we hold in our body, what happens to the capacity of the breath to nourish and fully fill us out? It's limited. So we often think about holding the breath as something that when we don't breathe. Mm. And that is true. But when we also hold the breath in a small space, it has less ability to be nourished. So as soon as you relax, what happens? The breath opens up and we breathe from a deeper place, which is then feels more nourishing, yes? Mm-hmm. So let's go back to asking your body to show you that quality of patience. And then, just for a couple of breaths, maybe six, breathe with that sense of relaxation. And see what the quality of breath is then. Not to make the breath do something, but it's breathing with something. And so you're asking yourself, what do you notice about breath as you breathe with it? We've already established it comes from a deeper place, but what do you also notice when you're breathing with patience?
Notice the rhythm of the breath.
Yes, right? The rhythm of the breath, right? And the rhythm of the breath has a sequence to it, right? And it unfolds. So you can't say, well, I'm going to breathe here and then I'm going to breathe over here, right? It takes a while for that breath to fill into its rhythm. And so you're being patient with the unfolding of breath moving through body. So you're having an experience of the patience of breath. Because breath, right, it's right there. It's like it has to unfold. And so what is patience, again, is it tolerating or is it allowing things to unfold as they are meant to unfold? So the breath teaches us that lesson by following its rhythm, and we understand that we have to allow it to unfold the way it unfolds, both in the inhale and in the exhale. That it becomes a model for us to let anything unfold, I think. Not always able to do that, of course. And then I'm often surprised about what is unfolding. Like I noticed in meditation today when I was sitting and letting the breath be patient, there were ways that my body settled that I were new to me in that sitting position. Oh, there's some more unfolding. So it takes time sometimes for things to unfold. Now, do we get that? That's kind of nice, isn't it? Breath in. So if I want to see patience again, I just ask my body to show it to me. I breathe with it. It's much different than people who say, just breathe into. It's breathe with. You're making a relationship between breath and this quality that you're developing. So it's all about relationship. When you ask something to breathe into something, you're trying to make something to happen. When you breathe with something, you're in relationship with it. I think it's a much gentler approach. All right, let's take diligence. Ask your body to show you diligence. What is diligent? How does diligence show up? What happens? What's the quality of diligence that shows up?
Keeping at it.
Yeah. Keeping at it. And can we say it another way? Yes, it's keeping at it. What is it that's keeping at it?
To me, it feels like alertness.
Uh-huh, uh-huh. And what is it that is alert?
Being in the present.
And what?
Myself. My consciousness is alert.
Yes,
that's
my,
what it feels like.
My awareness. My consciousness, my awareness is being alert. So, do I have to effort to be diligent? Or if I ask myself to be diligent, does consciousness just, or awareness just say, I can accommodate that. All right. Now, what if we breathe with diligence? What does that feel like? Breathing just with the alertness. And what impact does it have on patience?
Feels like a lot of self-kindness, really.
Yes, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Anybody else want to go along with that?
My thought was attention.
Huh?
It, you know, bringing attention to the breath.
Uh-huh. To its movement.
It brings attention in a bigger sense.
But I want to follow Marsha's thought there a little bit too. It's because when I look at the definitions of patience and diligence in the book, they don't feel kind. But when I do it this way, being diligent and patient feels like an act of self-love.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which I think is a whole lot more easier on my nervous system to be in the act of self-love than in the act of making effort. There's enough effort out there in the world. And, any other comments about that?
It seems like there is effort to have diligence, you know, to come back. It's a kind of a commitment to the gentleness aspect or kindness of when my mind is, you know, goes away. But it's some diligence or some effort.
I liked what you said. It's coming back. You used a word that I liked, a commitment.
Yeah.
But it also is more of, instead of being an effort, I like to think of it as it's an invitation. Can I invite the quality of diligence back into my awareness, or have my awareness be engaged with attention as an invitation? Rather than an effort to come back. I just invite it, because we just invited our body to show us the quality of those things, and they're there. And so that we can ask for a quality of anything as long as we have had the experience of it at least once in the past, because the body holds the record of everything that we ever experienced. So if we want to bring it back into our awareness, all we have to do is invite it back in. And part of the way that we keep close to the body and its experience in breathing with is using our nose for breathing. Because when we use our mouth for breathing, especially out, it's a function of allowing things to dissipate when things get too intense. But if we can accompany it with a cycle of nose breathing both in and out, we're able to stay closer to it. So here, I'll give you an example of that. So ask yourself, your body, to show you the quality of joy. Let your body, watch your body shape itself to a memory of joy. And breathe with that. Breathe in, feel the joy if you can, breathe out. And see if it hangs around a little bit. And then, breathe in joy, and just breathe out, and now breathe back, and see if joy is still hanging around. Did it go away? Kind of went away, didn't it? So you kind of know the difference between when I, you know, there's oftentimes out in the world, people go, yeah, oh, that was so great, right? Yeah, but it's gone now. And that's okay sometimes. Especially if it's something that's like, phew, that's too much. I need to get it off of my tissues a little bit. But if I want to keep close to my emotional self as a guidance to how I feel about things, to what my connection is to my experience, my nose keeps me close to myself. And that's what we want, right? We want to be close to ourselves so that we can see the rhythms of our life, and so that we can see that we can actually focus on them. So the breath is that. The breath is supports that. It always supports everything. It wants to nourish whatever we want for ourselves. So if we want for ourselves love and kindness, it's more than happy to support that if we use it properly. It's a simple lesson, really. My teaching has changed because I used to have a lot of rules about breathing. And the more I teach it, you know, the conversations, the less I know. But it's not the less I know, it's the simpler it seems to get for me. It seems to get simpler. So I'm going to give you, I think some of you may have heard me do this before. There is an interesting piece about how do we allow ourselves to be breathed rather than put the effort into breathing. because we could also feel real hard, you know, stroke. Got to get a big breath. Got to really make it work to give me what I need. So here's a little trick on how to have your body breathe you as opposed to you breathing your body, okay? So just take a couple of breaths in and out through your nose now, since now we have a understanding that nose is for breathing and mouths are for eating. And just notice if there's effort. Do you pull it in? Does it meet some resistance in your chest? Does it feel like your body doesn't fully open for it? Or it does, it might. And when you get a sense of that, take the next breath in, and this syllable, sa, S-A, can be thought of in your mind, and kind of in your mind, kind of saying it, not out loud, but hearing yourself think the word sa as you breathe in. And just kind of note, does it change the experience of taking a breath in? What may happen that may be different than the way you breathed in before? Just checking your chest and checking your belly. And when you feel like you have that, then when you breathe out, say ha in your thinking mind. Sa on the way in and ha on the way out. It's nonverbal. Nonverbal. And you can go back and forth to your old style, and it may be similar, maybe the same. Asa may open the pathway to a little more patience and a little more rhythm. And notice your curiosity. Does the exhale elongate? Is there more time spent in the exhale when you say sa? I mean, you say ha on the way out? Do you feel the descent to the earth on the exhale when you say ha? Yeah.
I'm circular breathing. Mm-hmm. From the dantian, mm-hmm. And when I say sa, I'm bringing it up my back,
mm-hmm.
And then when I say ah, I'm bringing it down,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
To my dantian,
mm-hmm.
Actually below my dantian,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
right here
well, there's no
and
other place but here
up, huh? And then it's circle.
Uh-huh. Anybody else notice that? Thank you. That's the way it travels. Mm-hmm. Let's just take a moment to see if we can find that, what David said. The rising up the back on sa, and the descent down the front to the tailbone, all the way down to a deep connection right into the earth. And if you feel that deep connection into the earth on the exhale, breathe with that connection on the inhale and sa. So you begin where you left off. Can add one piece of that. The descent into the tailbone and here is a real manifestation of earth. And in sa, do we get a sense of space?
Space,
sense
and
of
rising.
Buoyancy. Huh?
Space and rising.
And rising. We become buoyant. And so there's a very profound relationship in the buoyancy and in the ground, space and ground. And I'm heeding again that when you find where you land in the exhale, wherever it may be, in the downward movement towards the earth, that the inhale rises from where you left off. So there's no break in the continuity. Because sometimes we have breathing patterns where we think we have to breathe high up in our chest and we immediately move to a pattern. Instead, here we are moving from the circle of where we left off at the bottom to rise up, to drop down, to rise up, to drop down. And that's part of the rhythm of breath. Is that movement into ground and buoyancy.
Do you visualize that?
No, I feel it. Mm-hmm. I feel myself being buoyant. There are images that come with it, but I don't visualize the reality of it. It's kind of nice to start where you left off.
Is the ah longer than the sa?
Well, it tends to be that way. The descent and the arrival into the end of the exhale is longer. And that's a useful thing, just scientifically, because the heart slows down in the exhale. The beating of the heart decreases. And the beating of the heart increases on the inhale. And so we want to see a difference between the speed on the inhale and the speed on the exhale. That's a healthy heart that is able to go through an increase in speed and a decrease in speed. So the exhale slows us down.
And how deep is the saw?
You know, this is all incredibly subjective. Because one of the things that I wanted you to notice about the sa was that when we effort to breathe in, like want to pull air in, there's a tightening that happens in the body, especially in the chest. And when you say sa, you can feel it opens. And so the opening is not something that is being directed by us. The opening is the body saying, oh, inhale is coming, the lungs are interested now in pulling air into themselves, and so the tissue around the chest and the front and the back is going to spread to allow the air to fill us. The lungs breathe, we don't breathe. When we are being breathed, it's a chemical and physics pressure phenomenon that's causing the body to want to take a breath. All happening metabolically. So by saying ha sa, we learn. We don't have to do it all the time, but we can learn, oh, I have to get out of the way to allow my body to open for air. And so the answer to your question, David, is how do I know when I'm done inhaling? I don't know, my body knows how much it needs, and is a sort of a sense of, I find, oh, there it is, it's fully arrived, and there's nothing more I need to do anymore, it's all here. And now it's going to turn around and go away.
Do you pause?
I roll over. There may be a fraction of a second or so of a pause. But no, I don't hold, I don't manipulate to hold. The quiet of the breath, when it's not moving, is at the bottom of the exhale.
That's really helpful to me, because I always wondered about what I'd call the gap, because I'm like, well, what should I do now? There's nothing, you know, it's not my, but it's much, and but that was always in my head. It was much more helpful to think of it at the ground, kind of not waiting, but just resting before the cycle kind of starts again.
Right. Now, this is a little bit more esoteric, but it's also really true. We'll just go through this last piece. There are four stages of the breath. There's the inhale, there's the roll over at the top, there's the exhale, and there's the bottom. So if we just take a look at it from spirit's viewpoint, when I breathe in, spirit is entering. So there's a quality in me that feels like, oh my gosh, I'm here. I have just manifested, and I am now alive in the moment. Whoa! When I get to the top, if you can follow it up there, there's a widening. And what do I see in that widening? There's a flash up there. Some call it a flash of joy, but what I see is, oh my gosh, I'm one with everything. Because everything is out there. It's a complete open field when I fully breathe in and I'm fully manifest that I am connected to everything. That's my experience. It's also what I read in the Radiant Sutras. When I start to exhale, that moment of manifestation is disappearing. And so the form that I was created in the inhale is now going back into the formlessness. I am sort of allowing that moment of manifestation of form to disappear. And whatever I carried in that moment, and you can often think about it, try to think about a thought, have it in your inhale, and watch what happens to that thought in the exhale at a certain point. It's going to disappear. You can't hold it. Any thought, just any thought. Breathe in with the thought. And then start to breathe out. Let the breath leave. And see if that thought stays, or does it kind of just sort of begin to get very diffuse? This takes a practice. And what in the exhale, what's down at the bottom? What does it feel like? What's the space in the exhale when it lands at the bottom? What's the quality of it?
Feels very solid.
It's vast. Mm. It's the space of empty. Mm. When you practice it, it comes in. You manifest. Everything is up there. Body is whatever is gathering information is gathering information. It dissolves. It goes into the emptiness. And right now, everything from the past moment is coalescing to create the next moment, without predictability of what the next moment's going to be. And the other piece of it is, we don't know if there'll be another moment. There may not be another breath.
Have you ever been with someone
who didn't take the next breath? Yeah. Yeah. They breathe out and there's no coming back. Mm-hmm.
It's a very profound
moment. It is a very profound. And so what we see when we do that is, if you've been with a baby who takes the first breath and you've been with somebody who doesn't takes the last breath, there is the cycle of life. And how is it any different than our breath that we breathe in, come into manifestation, be created, be receiving, and then letting it go and be in the wonder of, will there be another? It's a fractal of every one. Mm-hmm. And the immediacy of life is contained in that possibility of creation in the moment or not.
Mm-hmm. Now, what we've been talking about is duality. In, out. At some point, do you drop that?
Yeah, you're being breathed. There is no in and out. And there, if I ask you to find the edge of your breath, can you find the edge of your breath in your body on the inhale? Is there an edge?
No,
there is no edge. Mm-hmm. It is all one. Yeah. Mm-hmm. The thing, I think, the biggest lesson for me in watching my breath like this is that everything comes and goes. And so my tendency to want to aggravate about something or and think, why is it like this? Why, how come it's like this? Why doesn't it change? It's like, I know if I can sit with it, it's going to change because everything comes and goes. That is, for me, that is the biggest lesson of breath. Everything comes and goes. It moves in and moves out. But there really no in, there is no in and out. It's just a phenomenon that just breathes. It breathes us. So there's also a oneness in it. I think that's my lesson for the day. I like that piece about manifest seeing all at one. It's, I'm not always there, but it is an interesting meditation to sometimes pay attention to, because they have shape. There's a shape to the breath. There's a shape to how we go out. There's a shape to where we land. There's a shape to how we form. There's a shape to how we empty. And so there's this constant shifting of shape, of form. And that also is very profound to recognize that there's a shifting of form all the time in each breath. So, patience and diligence. They're to be called upon. It's not the work to do. Thank you.
This podcast has been brought to you by the Puget Sound Zen Center. Thanks so much for listening. To learn more about our community, you can visit our website at pszc.org.